This public radio podcast is supported by the Society for Human Resource Management, meeting the challenges of a changing world, online at shrm.org.
A Day of Reckoning.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Wall Street's getting punished several different ways for the mortgage mess. People have lost their jobs. Entire institutions like Bear Stearns have collapsed. And now, here comes the regulation. Today, the Securities and Exchange Commission is expected to adopt a new proposal on credit rating agencies. Standard & Poor's, Moody's, Fitch, they gave AAA ratings to a lot of garbage. Marketplace's Amy Scott has more.
Money market mutual funds invest billions of dollars in bonds. SEC rules say most of the bonds have to be highly rated by credit rating agencies. The rules are meant to protect investors. But when the mortgage market turned last year, many of the bonds the agencies called the cream of the crop turned out to be the bottom of the barrel. Earlier this month, SEC Chairman Christopher Cox acknowledged criticisms that
our own rules may be contributing to an uncritical reliance on credit ratings as a substitute for independent evaluation.
Today, the commission will propose reforms to make fund managers do more of their own research. Peter Crane with Crane Data tracks money market funds. He doubts fund managers could have predicted the market collapse any better than the ratings agencies did.
Had they done their own due diligence, it wouldn't have mattered. These events were something that could not have been foreseen by anyone.
The SEC also wants to change the way ratings agencies do business. It's weighing rules to crack down on conflicts of interest and improve transparency. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
So far this week, nothing but losses for Wall Street. Yesterday, the Dow fell another 34 points to 11,807. The Nasdaq dropped 17, and the S&P 500 was down 3 points. Mixed results in Asia today by the close. Minor gains so far in European trading. In a few days, one of the world's wealthiest people will be out of a full-time job. Bill Gates is stepping down as chairman of Microsoft so he can devote more time to his foundation. Whatever you think of Gates, you can't deny his influence on the world and the world of technology. Janet Babin has more from our innovations desk at North Carolina Public Radio.
Back in the day, Information Week editor David Berlind routinely interviewed Bill Gates. What struck him most about Microsoft's leader was his intensity.
I can remember sitting in a room with him having a very impassioned argument about software development.
Gates may have mellowed with success, but Berlind says the billionaire leaves behind a corporate structure many cyber companies still use today. That is, the tech geek should lead the company. Berlind says Gates knew his stuff from the start.
You couldn't come to him with a technology idea or show him some code and fool him about it. He knew the bits and bytes deeply enough to know what was real, what was good, what was cool, and what had potential.
Microsoft faces many challenges these days, but Berlind says the company's prepared to weather them without Gates at the helm. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
While we're talking about innovation, this sounds pretty cool. An Italian architect says he will build the world's first revolving skyscraper in Dubai. Each of the 80 floors would spin ever so slowly around a cement core, so you'd get a constantly changing view of the skyline. Plus, architect David Fisher says the whole building would be powered by wind turbines.
This building is completely self-powered. And you can imagine if in New York City you will have so many of these buildings, you'll not have to be connected to the grid.
Some people are skeptical of Fisher's plans. He's never built a skyscraper before, but he's hired on some top designers. The building's apartments will go on sale in September, starting at $4 million.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the Medtronic Foundation, working to reduce heart disease, the number one killer of American women, by supporting Women Heart. Information at womenheart.org. And by Clarkson Potters, The Splendid Table's How to Eat Supper, the cookbook inspired by the radio program for people who love to eat. Available now.
Congress is looking at ways to discourage oil speculators. Opponents say there's no need to tinker with the free market. It's a classic battle between the forces of government and business. Commentator Robert Reich says every so often, one of them takes control of the other.
The great pendulum of American economic outrage moves back and forth over time between anger at big government and anger at big business. For almost 30 years, big government has been the target, starting with Ronald Reagan's admonition that government is the problem, not the solution, through Bill Clinton's declaration that the era of big government is over, and George W. Bush's hands-off brand of free market fundamentalism. We deregulated much of the economy and pretty much allowed corporations to do what they wished. And for the first 20 years, the result was largely good: a buoyant economy, a bullish stock market, a strong dollar. But now we're experiencing what happens when the pendulum swings too far and big business is given so much leeway that the public is harmed and the economy jeopardized. The corporate looting scandals that began with Enron were a wake-up call. Then came the practice of post-dating executive stock options. And more recently, an epidemic of unsafe products, drugs like Vioxx, tainted foods, heparin, and lead-painted toys imported from China. We've had defense contractors that don't deliver on their contracts and insurance companies that won't deliver on their promises. And just this past year, the subprime loan mess, a financial meltdown on Wall Street, out-of-control hedge funds and derivatives, perhaps manipulation of oil futures markets. The reality is that neither big government nor big business is the problem. Both are necessary parts of a modern economy. Problems arise when they're out of balance, as they were by the 1970s, when government had grown so large it was stifling the economy, or as they have become this decade, as big business, including Wall Street, grew so irresponsible as to undermine public trust and threaten the economy. Now the pendulum of outrage is swinging back against large corporations. America is heading toward another era of regulation. The real question is how smartly we go about it and whether we can keep the pendulum from swinging too far.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Please share your thoughts with us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.